Well, if you have your Bible open with you, please turn with me to Luke 17, and I'm going to read to share from verses 11 to 19 that I read earlier to us. Luke 17 from 11 to 19. And we know that the story is about the healing of the 10 lepers. Well, leprosy during those days is just like the COVID-19 time today. And all the regulations that are there really to identify those who have COVID-19. So you take a test, and then after that, if you test it positive, you are to isolate for a certain times, as it is in the Old Testament times. But let me just draw your attention to the fact that the reason for the isolation of the lepers and during those days, because that was in the scriptures, that was in the Torah, because they needed to isolate those who were sick with leprosy, not to affect other people. Not only because it was a disease without really a remedy or cure, the chronic ones are really bad. But also it was symbolic of sin, because the people of Israel were set apart to be to have nothing to do with sin, to love the Lord and to fear Him in His Word, and that is why they were following those regulations really strictly. That is why they were doing that. But today in our days, the COVID-19 is causing death. It's terrible. That is why they want to preserve people from it. So we could see that and can cause a lot of anxiety. Because it's a fatal disease at times. If you have other health issues, it's dangerous. So I believe this causes a lot of anxiety in our days today. And it's only God who can remove it. In those days, the priests even, they can only pronounce what they could see, even they were unable to heal people. And so now we have Jesus taking this opportunity to draw our attention, not to the healing of the 10, but actually he was going to show us the importance of the saving faith. Because this section from 9 to 50, from 9:51 up to chapter 19 deals about this question of faith. I think we have come across this when Lazarus was called by that rich man who was healthy and enjoying all the blessings of the world. And Lazarus was languishing, and when Lazarus died, he went to the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man in hell, he was trying to call Abraham to come, or even to be sent to his family, so that they repent of their sins and they don't come to that place. But Jesus said here, as Luke was trying to tell us, that Abraham said to this man that they had prophets. What was written there, to fear God with all of your heart and to love Him with all of your heart and to love your neighbor, that was enough for you to be a God-fearing person and to love Him. And yet, that man didn't believe in the written word. So that was, Jesus was trying to make a point that you believe, only if you believe you will see the glory of God. And we have seen also, even further in chapter 19, the Zacchaeus also, he believed and he trusted, and he was a bad man, but his faith really brought him closer to Christ. And so Jesus picked this up, uses the plight of the lepers as an opportunity to draw our attention to what he is trying to do. So this is the history, goes like this. As Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, was going to die on the cross, but before, as he was, he never stopped serving, never stopped exercising his authority and doing good. And so as the Bible tells us, as he was traveling along the border between Samaria and Galilee. So Jesus just didn't go straight away to Jerusalem. He was like zigzagging between the borders of Samaria and Galilee. And there, as he was going to go into a village, and I suspect that village was a Samaritan village. And we will know also that he was rejected in those places. And Jesus, as he was going, there were lepers who were put outside the city. And I think there was a meeting point because that place, that was the border between Samaria and Galilee. So now Samaritans and Jews, they really very, they don't like each other. So they were not friends. But because some people from the Jewish community and some lepers from the Samaritan community, they gathered outside there, and they were friends, because actually it doesn't matter. They put aside their troubles because they were sick anyway. They were put outside of their communities because of their disease, and so that was where Jesus met them. So they were rejected. They were isolated. They were not welcome because leprosy was an attractive skin disease, not limited to what is called leprosy today. So it was just so terrible. So the Bible, so as we read, prescribed that a person with leprosy was to quarantine from the rest of the society. So that is why it says in verse 4-5 and 4-6, the person with such infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkept, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. Live alone. Live outside the camp. So their plight was real. They were in trouble. They were not welcome in the communities, in their communities. They were rejected even by their loved one. As long as they remain infectious, they went. They are to stay outside there. So the plight of the lepers was real. But the cry of the lepers was even much more stronger when they saw Jesus Christ coming and approaching the city. So they cry out. They stood at a distance. They were following all the regulations of the Torah. So they stood at a distance and call out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So why they asked that? Why they cried in that way? Well, as Jesus was ministering, the public were recognizing in him at times that he was perhaps he is the Messiah, because he taught with power and he was healing the sick. So they were turning to him. The very people who were discouraging people from following Christ, they were the Pharisees and the scribes who had their different agenda. They established their own religion because they were profiting from that. So these people, they were desperate. So they needed to come out from that estate. So they cried out and they called Jesus with these two titles. Jesus, which means Savior. It is not clear to us whether they know for sure that Jesus can save them, can give them eternal life. Is something that is not clear in the text. Nevertheless, they had real need and they needed to come out from that. You see, so sometimes even in our life with God, as believers in our modern times, sometimes we spend a lot of time trying to work out things and try to be clever than really to cry out to God and come out from our situations. Whatever we face, if you lack anything, ask. That was what Jesus said. If anyone in need, let him ask. Ask, seek, find. So we are encouraged to come. Well, these people, they were doing the right thing at that time. They had real trouble, so they needed to come out from that. So they approached Jesus with respect to the rules, like to stand at a distance and to cry aloud, because the distance was a little bit considerable, so Jesus can hear them. And so they were just following really the proper Old Testament ways to approach a person. And also when they called Jesus, have mercy. So this also is a religious language. So to have mercy. They don't deserve this. Have pity. That is what the NIV says. Have pity on us. We have this terrible disease. This is a cry for help. And then the Bible tells us that when he saw them. So here, when Jesus saw them, this is more than seeing. Jesus really felt their need and saw how they were covered with this leprosy. And so Jesus saw them and had mercy on them. Because when he saw them, he said to them, that was a response to their cry for mercy, because Jesus saw them in their real need, and they cry out to him. They recognize that he's a master. He masters all the events around him. He raises the dead and he heals the sick, and he can do all sorts of things. He got the power as God himself, and so this address would be no less than addressing God himself. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And as Jesus saw them, he said to them, show yourself to the priest. Well, I'd like to bring you to the teaching points in a minute. But why here Jesus say, go and show yourself to the priest in verse 14? He was not breaking the law. He wanted the law to be fulfilled, and so he was sending these people back to the priest to examine them, as we read earlier, to pronounce them whether they are clean or not. And as they go, when Jesus say go, with authority. And then suddenly people got healed on the way. They were healed on the way. And Jesus, because he has the power, his word heals. You remember the man who said to Jesus, I think it's Jairus, and said, send a word. And also the centurion said, just I'm not worthy for you to come under my house, my roof. Just send a word and my servant will be healed. So he recognized in Jesus, I think the power and the authority. He recognized that his words are divine. He can send a word and his word will heal. So I preached from the centurion, and I called the sermon, I think, the faith of the centurion, the faith that really Jesus was looking for. And here, as Jesus said, go, they were healed. Well, now what happens? As they go, as they were healed. So the one person, the nine, they were so excited just to go and to be pronounced clean and then just go back to their communities. So because they were put away from their communities, and so they were not enjoying the comfort of their communities and the life that they were enjoying before they were affected. So they were, even though the way in which they were healed was miraculous, and so they didn't care so much about what to do next and to think about the person who exercised that authority that brought them that healing. And I suspect this healing also is supernatural. It's like the healing of Naaman of Assyrian. I would suspect that their skin would be clear, not just to be dry and to be pronounced that they are not infectious and they can go back, but actually even more than that, as if they were never sick, as if they were never covered with that leprosy. And yet they proceeded and they go ahead and there were no mention of that 99, just only for Jesus to lament and the fact that they didn't return. So as those people, they were rushing to get back to the community. Is this saying anything to us? Because even in our days today, if I can just use the COVID-19 as an analogy. So we were locked down, and I think we in Melbourne, we love to be really famous in for a good reason or for a bad reason. You see, we were many years ago. I think that was the very time I was going away from this city, going to a very primitive place as a missionary with my family. It was announced to be the most livable city in the world. Well, a few days ago, our city again was pronounced to be the most city that has gone through lockdown. It's the most locked down city in the world. Just imagine. So we really place our name in the map of the world. And so we are well known. People take note of us. And that is why when it was announced that we will be coming out from the lockdown, and so many of us, they just rushed to our normal life. And perhaps few of us gave thanks to God, the fact that we can restore our freedom. Well, it's something even more crucial than this. So those nines, they went to celebrate their freedom and their healing. But there was one man. There was one man who was not just living for himself, that he was not just seeking to be healed and to be whole, but he recognized that. Because it's a man who makes sense of things. Why he had to be put out in the first place. Why he had to go and live in isolation in the first place. He's a sensible man. He recognized that that was to honor God's word. That was when he approached Jesus, and perhaps among the ten, his cry was for real mercy, for him to be free. You see, perhaps to go back so that he can go to the temple and worship. We can only imagine. But this man, we are told here in the text, when these men went, they were all cleansed. But one of them, when he saw he was healed, when he saw that his body was restored fully at the word of Jesus, what did he do? He came back praising God. He came back praising. He came back praising. Why he was praising God? Was that simply because he was healed? Well, we have in Psalm 135 here, the psalmist gives us the clue why we praise God. Praise the Lord, that is verse 1, Psalm 131. Praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, you servants of the Lord, you who ministers in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord. Why? For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. Sing praise to his name, for that is pleasing. For the Lord has chosen Jacob. The Lord is good. The Lord has chosen this person. So these were the chosen people of Israel. This man, when he was praising God. For God is good. And God has sent his son, Jesus Christ. That was why he recognized that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign rule of God of Israel. He recognized this and he praised God. Well, let me share this with you, friends. Praising comes before praying. If we are ever to know God, we are to praise Him for who He is. We are to praise Him. We are to shout and we are to know that the Lord is great and He is good. Whether we are lepers or not, whether we have COVID-19 or not. So this is what God demands, to praise Him. To praise Him. So this man, he did the right thing. He came back glorifying God. He came back glorifying God because God has sent Jesus Christ, the Son of His Son. Because you see, John 3:16 is a very easy verse that is well known even by non-Christians. But if we meditate on this verse, it really summarizes the whole purpose of God and His work for our salvation. Because it speaks of the love of God, you see, and because He sent His Son, and by His grace, and He's the work of His because of His work on the cross of Calvary, so no one shall perish. And so this man, he got it right. He was praising God for sending His Son Jesus, the Messiah, who came here. Even now, He is exercising this authority from heaven. So God is looking for this faith, this type of faith that glorifies God, that praise God. How many of our hymns speak of praise Him, praise Him? I will praise His name. Because it's only when we praise Him, we can enter into really spiritual engagement with God. And today, perhaps you are struggling. If you are struggling, just start off by praising God for saving you, sending Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise Him, meditate on His character. Jehovah Jireh, God who provides. And He gave us the best. He sent His Son. Praising. That is a faith that looks here, is look in His gospel, is trying to show us. Because this is the saving faith that God is looking for. And as we see here in this text, this man, he came back, he was praising God. This is his faith. And then not only that, he thanked Jesus. He came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. So this man, he came and he threw himself down, acknowledging, thanking Jesus Christ for having mercy on him, to reverse his situation. So he thanked Jesus and he fell at his feet. To fall at Jesus' feet would be a blasphemy. He recognized in Christ the divine Savior. And so he threw himself down and he worshipped Him. He thanked Him from his heart. Give thanks to the Lord. So praising and giving thanks, these are part of, this is an expression of a piety. Many of us, we run into trouble because we don't give thanks to God. We don't appreciate. You know, many years ago, sometimes you don't know when you appreciate someone, you don't know how much you have appreciated them. You see, but the person being appreciated, they will know, they have the impact of being appreciated. So many years ago, I was just sitting in the library at Monash University there near the copy machines. You see, copying machine. So you call them copying machine. So there was a lady, perhaps a retired lady in her 60s, and she was trying to photocopy some papers, and she was just like moving her car just so quick, and I was just sitting nearby, and I lift up my head and I said to her gently, "Why you don't try to move your cart just slowly?" And she tried that, and she went through and it worked. And she printed a few things, and then she got stuck with something different. And then I made another suggestion, why you don't try that? Not because I was experienced in that. All that I did, I just opened my mouth. And I said whatever I failed to say. And when she finished, she did that, and that worked as well. And when she finished, she came up to my desk, and she stood there, and she said, "Wherever you go today, something good will happen to you." That she was just appreciating what I have done. That was so simple. How much more with interacting with Jesus Christ and to recognize in him the authority of his word and the kindness of his heart to grant you your petition. Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. I reckon today, if that is your attitude in your situation, and you cry out to him in this way, he will meet you. Because this is the faith that he is looking for. It's not the faith of the 99, because Jesus lamented and he said, "Were not 10 healed?" And the 10 who were healed, only one person came back. The other point I would want to make was like this person was not expected to have that such a faith because he was a Samaritan. So what is the problem with the Samaritans? Sometimes some people would think like, oh, always Jesus would just talk about the good Samaritan, you see? And now another man here, he seemed to be a good Samaritan as well. But it's not because Samaritans are good, but because Jesus was badly opposed by the Jews, his people, his own people. So always, and he uses this reality to shame them, always. They were the people to benefit from his ministry because he came from Judah, from Galilee. And also, he's a son of David. He is more associated with the kingdom of Judah. You see, the southern part of the kingdom. Whereas the Samaritans, they mixed with other races. Still, they were Israelites, and also they were proud people. And even the word Samaritans is coming from the Hebrew word Shamir. And so they are called Shamrom. And then they claim to be the true keepers, because to Shamir is to keep. They claim to be the true keepers of the law. And for that reason, they were hated by Jews also, because they were claiming. And so there was a great antagonism between the Jews and the Samaritans. And Jesus said here, "Were not 10 healed? Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? And the title of my sermon was, "Where are the 99? And my challenge to you and myself today, are you represented by the 99, or are you the one? The unlikely. Because sometimes we want to be the likely, and that is the problem we face today. We want to follow the crowd, we want to respond the same way everybody is responding to God. But Jesus, wanting you to recognize him personally, to recognize what he has done for you. Because here he said, was no one found to return and give praise to God. Even to praise God, that was something significant in Jesus' ministry. Because Jesus didn't come to establish his own religion. He came to fulfill the will of his Father. And for those who are to be saved, they are to come and to know that this is out of the love of his Father. And he demanded that every person praises his Father. Because his Father initiated our salvation, and he sent his son. And the son, in his obedience to his father, he submitted himself to this cruel path that was going to be culminated on the cross of Calvary to redeem us completely and to make us people who can know how to thank God and to praise him, for he is good. And he has made a home for us, many mansions. And he has given us a future before his throne of God. And he gave us the language of worship today. Before the throne of God above, I have a perfect. All these praises, we wouldn't know how to praise God if it was not the work of Jesus Christ. If it was not Jesus teaching us in this text that we need to give thanks and to give praises to God, our Heavenly Father. This is the heart of the worship. This is the heart of piety. This is the heart of dedication to God. And this is the heart of the true service to our God. To serve him by acknowledging that we were sinners. We were like the lepers. We would just stay outside that city for the rest of our life. But it is through the grace of our Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who responded to the mission of his Father. And humble himself, we are taught in Philippians chapter 2. He didn't consider equality with God something to grasp and to sit there in heavenly places, but he emptied himself so that we can meet him, so that when we come and he sees us in our state, desolate, rejected, because sin humiliates so much. And we know today, and our hearts ache when we see people in bondages, not knowing the way out to freedom. The freedom just to be thankful to God. The freedom to be praising God. The freedom to rely on God's provision. The freedom, this freedom. And people are doing it so hard, and they are causing a lot of troubles. People today, they are just committing sins because they think by doing that, they have relief. Well, Jesus, the matter of thanking his Father, praising him, and acknowledging him, the Son of God. Because Jesus said, well, I didn't come to condemn you, but you have condemned yourself because you have rejected me. You have rejected me, the one who came to rescue you. So to thank Jesus for his grace is so important. So important, it's so crucial if we are ever to express the faith of the gospel. I love to refer to the Christian faith as the faith of the gospel, as the faith of the gospel, a faith that we receive only through the grace of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, we are able to have this faith in God. So Jesus lamented the fact that, and he refers to the Samaritan, he called him a foreigner. Well, true faith today will be expressed by unlikely people. We hear a lot about the work of the Holy Spirit in communities that we are not thinking of, people who perhaps have little theology. So the Lord God is working among the unlikely. So don't be surprised that the true faith will be manifested by the unlikely, the people you think, and perhaps you are the unlikely. So be encouraged. So the faith that Jesus wants is this type of faith, a faith that recognizes him and his Father, and also express appropriately. These people, they cried out for mercy because we don't deserve. But perhaps even the nine lepers, they just want to get away with it. They were just so excited to go and just show themselves. Jesus said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Well, we see now Jesus said the word go twice. He said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And perhaps Jesus in his mind, he was there, he knew that those people, they will be challenged. They will be even made furious, more to would want to kill him. Because now people will have free access to him and people will be healed completely. But Jesus also was respecting the fact that they had to go and show themselves, and then they will be given a certificate that they go back to their communities. But now he said to this man, go. Just not to go. He could have said to him, go, please go and show yourself to the priest. But he said to him, go, your faith has made you well. So what is the last point I was going to say? The saving faith of one leper who is a Samaritan is the true faith that can really bring us to a right relationship with God. Because God just didn't want us to be healed and just go. He wants us to have a relationship with him. He has called us to worship him. That is why he said to Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may worship me, that they may serve me. Let my people go. He has created us for himself, to worship him. But unfortunately, we want to live our own life. And the matter of worship is just like just a part of our life. But actually, the worship is the center of our being. So all that we do, we should be to focus on this, to glorify God and to thank Jesus Christ our Lord, and to express this faith that we don't deserve. We don't deserve this faith. We don't deserve this salvation, but it's a gift of God. So what do we need to do? Well, let us give thanks to God for what we have, the salvation we have. We give thanks to God even for his provision. And let him decide on what we don't have. So let us praise. If you are sick, praise God. If you have a need, praise God. In the past, I used to sing a song with my friends that we praise his name and he will make our joy complete. Is when we praise God that we will find our problems are solved. When we thank God, when we thank Jesus, when we worship properly. So all our problems will be small and some will be solved. Also, I want to say the person who praises is the one who recognizes that he doesn't deserve anything. But unfortunately, sometimes we think that we deserve anything. Perhaps because of our race or education or wealth. And that might be the thinking of the nine lepers. They were anyway Jews, you see. And if Jesus, who has come from them, has healed them, that is fine. You see, now all that they need to go now is just like to go on with their lives and so forth. So perhaps we may think that way. We may think that we don't need to give thanks for what we have. So the Samaritan here is commended for his faith. And actually, this is not unique to Luke. We have read this in chapter 4. And Jesus always, he says something about the Samaritan. In chapter 4, what did he say in chapter 4? Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, that she was a Gentile, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elijah, the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Assyrian. Jesus always, he expresses the attitude and the gratitude of those Gentiles who recognizes the gift of God when his people were not. My prayer is that we will not be like those people who would not recognize the gracious work of our God and to fail to give him thanks and to praise him, because it's only when we praise and give thanks that truly our faith can reflect the great work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.